Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to our guest tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about it, though. This week, the FDA granted accelerated full approval of Leqembi, the second drug directed at the fundamental causes of Alzheimer's disease. How big of a step is this when it comes to ending the disease? Are more medications coming through in this fight? Well, we've asked Sue Perriott, CEO of the Minnesota North Dakota chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, to come on the show and talk about these developments. She joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you this evening?
Doing very well. I'm so glad that you joined us tonight. This is such an incredible thing that has happened recently. Alzheimer's, we've been dealing with this for a long time. Can you tell me how many years now have we been dealing with this?
Oh my gosh. Well, probably it's been around forever.
Right.
I think it's been over at least 100 years that since it's been diagnosed and named, the disease was given a name. But it really kind of the association's been in existence since 1979 when we've really had a focus on trying to help people on their journey with the disease and also look for treatments, prevention methods, and of course that ultimate cure.
The ultimate cure. Well, I understand that today the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Leqembi for the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. This is big. This is gigantic, right?
It is, you know, in the entire time that I've been with the association and ever since the association has started, we've never had a drug that would really help maintain someone's cognition. So this is big news that there is actually a treatment available, and it's exciting. You know, for years I would go and do talks and say there's no known treatment, no known cause, there's nothing that we can really do. And I don't have to say that anymore. It's super exciting.
Right. It really is exciting. And this is via the accelerated approval pathway. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, what the FDA did this last week was it gave it full approval. So it has had accelerated approval for a little while now, but the drug company went for full approval, and the FDA gave that this week. So that's what's really crucial in this fight, is that this is the first drug that was given full approval.
It's full approval. Okay, so when you say that, you must be so excited, because this is what we've been looking for. We've been hoping that there have been some new things coming forward, and it's going to move quickly, because we have so many millions of Americans. What is it, 6.5 million, I believe, that are dealing with this terrible disease, Alzheimer's?
Yes. Now, this drug, if you know anything about it, it is really designed for people in the very early stages of the disease. So it's not going to help the 6.5 million people, but the people in the very early stages of Alzheimer's disease, or if they're diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment. So this is a smaller group. So, yes, yeah, super exciting, but really for a smaller number of people. But there are some things that we're still concerned about. So one of the things that we have been working on and advocating for is that once this drug got full approval, and even with accelerated approval, that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, that they would cover the drug. Because before, when it was just accelerated approval, they would not pay for the drug. So even though it was, you know, approved by the FDA, they would not cover it. CMS has said, yes, they would cover it if it got full approval, and they did agree to that this week as well. So that is exciting, but we do still have some concerns, Geraldine. CMS has said they want to put some things in place. They want to make sure that people are on a part of a registry if they take this drug. And while that sounds great, that really can be an undue burden to people in rural communities, to hospitals and clinics, that maybe this is a financial burden to them. And we really, that's not going to provide access to all. And we are concerned about that. So while we are excited that it received full approval and that CMS will cover it, there are still a lot of concerns we have in place that we think need to be changed.
I really appreciate you sharing the truth, because a lot of times we don't understand it and we don't get it, right? Yet we see so many loved ones that are suffering from this. So we know that these are people who are just starting to have the disease. They're just now in it, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, that's why it's so important to go get diagnosed and to have those conversations with your physicians. Because now there is something available for those people right in that early stage of the disease. And that is really exciting.
That is exciting. At the same time, there are people sitting going, I've been waiting for so long. And you mean to tell me that I don't get any relief? What do we say to that?
We say that our work's not done. That is why we continue to spread awareness about this disease. We continue to raise money for research and to help people on their journey. And yes, we don't think that's right either. But what I do think is, a lot of times when we start having some successes in treating a disease with drugs and things like this, the science starts to explode, because the scientists really get excited, and we will have more scientists come into the field researching this. And they're going to research all different, you know, they're not looking at just the early stage. They're looking at preventing the disease. They're looking at what we can do to help people in those mid stages. We want to, you know, wouldn't it be great if we never got Alzheimer's disease? So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that scientists are doing right now. And this will really, you're going to start seeing explosions of successes, I think, in the Alzheimer's world in the near future.
So those that are saying, well, maybe I need to get tested to see if I have Alzheimer's, and then they realize that whatever it is that's starting, some don't even know how to define it. If you are involved in this and you see a group of people that are saying, you know, coming in saying, I think I have it, and the doctors confirm that, is there something that can be done if it's in the early stages, or is this something that they have to follow a path to get better, to get better, period?
Well, yes, if you go in, say you went in tomorrow or I go in tomorrow and have that conversation with my physician that I have concerns about my cognition. And again, I think that's really important to do, because there's often very many different reasons why a person's cognition might be changing. And it's really important to find out if it is Alzheimer's disease, so that you could now be eligible to take this drug. So if you get that diagnosis, I would have that conversation with your physician. Am I eligible to take this drug? What impact will this have in my life? What is that going to look like? And that's a big discussion that each person needs to have with their doctor and decide on their own if they think this is the right drug for them to take. Because, of course, there are side effects and things like that, too, that people need to be aware of.
Right. There are actually warnings when it comes to Leqembi. So I'm just curious to know what people need to know about this drug.
Well, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to know everything that I, you know, or a doctor, physician that's going to be able to tell all of that. But one of the side effects we know is what we call ARIA, and those are minor brain bleeds, you know, so bleeding in the brain. And a lot of times that, there, you won't notice any of the side effects, but that's why it's important to continue to see your physician and do all the follow-up treatment so they can detect that. If that happens, most often they will take you off the drug for a while, wait for your brain to heal, and then they can put you back on the drug if you want to do that.
Wow. It's interesting. When you read about this, I get excited, because we really have been waiting to hear more about different medications that are coming forward now, right? And there are so many people that are really excited about it. But then when we start reading words in an article that says, oh, you know, symptoms, warnings, that sort of thing. Like there was a piece here that says you might have symptoms like a headache, confusion, dizziness, mm-hmm. vision changes, nausea, and seizure, and so much more. And then you get, you know, placed on more medication, maybe, because you're feeling this way. And I'm my mother's primary caregiver, and I have to tell you, I am always terrified when there's new medication, because I keep saying to myself, aren't we supposed to spend 10 years working on that? Or maybe we have spent 10 years, but we just don't know enough yet. Is that correct?
Yes, I think there's still so much that we need to learn about this disease and how it evolves within a person. And I truly think that, you know, eventually it'll probably be more of a cocktail of drugs. So think about like HIV/AIDS. You don't just take one drug, often it's a cocktail that is best suited to you as an individual. And we'll probably see some of that in the future, as we're going to take different drugs so that they attack the disease in different ways.
Well, it's incredible. I'm excited about it and worried about it at the same time.
I know.
Right? So I really hope that we can have you back on later on to see how things are going with this new drug. Do you have quite a few people lined up to take it?
I do not know that yet. I said, the CMS has put in place that to administer this drug, hospitals and clinics need to be part of a registry. And there's still a lot of questions about that. What does that mean? What does the registry look like? So if you did go in to see your doctor tomorrow, you're probably not going to be able to get this drug right away. We are waiting to hear, what are the next steps from CMS? What else do people need to do? And we will work really hard to get that information out to all of the doctors so that they can put things in place to be able to offer this drug.
My goodness, it's good news, and I hope that it will continue to be great, or get to the point where it's great news and people don't have to worry about it. Families don't have to worry about it. I pray a lot for those. I know quite a few people whose parents have, or maybe one of the parents have Alzheimer's. It is nothing to laugh at. It is nothing to ignore. And I'm so grateful for what you are doing and what others are doing as well. So thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to let us know before I let you go?
I would just say make sure that people have our helpline number, because this is a disease that no one should go through alone. And if people have questions, they have concerns, they just don't know what to do, they're frustrated, reach out to our toll-free helpline number, which is 800-272-3900, because there is help available, and we are here 24 hours a day to help people.
I want to make sure that I have that correct. You said the helpline is 800-272-3900, correct?
That is correct.
What a pleasure it has been to have you, even for a short amount of time. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
And thank
I hope
you.
That we can talk with you again. Take care.
Sounds good. Take care. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye. That is Sue Perriott, CEO of the Alzheimer's Association, Minnesota North Dakota chapter. There's a whole lot for us to continue to learn. And when we get the good news that there's a new medication that is working in some of the tests, or there's good information that we can share with others, it feels great, right? And then sometimes we find out that if you've had, or your loved ones have had Alzheimer's for a while, there's not, this particular medicine can't help initially. So it's always tough, and I don't know why Alzheimer's exists. I don't understand it. I have had many talks with families or friends of mine who have a family member that has it, but this is serious business. And I know that music can really heal a lot. I am all for music. You know, I'm a singer, I'm a performer, and if I could go and sing around the world to Alzheimer's groups, I would. I absolutely would. But I don't know if it would help in any way. If there's nothing but joy on their faces, then it's success. That is for sure. Okay, we're going to stop and take a break. And then we'll come back and have some other thoughts. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 8:25 here at WCCO. We only have a few more minutes. But I must say that I am truly grateful that we had a chance to talk about Alzheimer's today. You know, some people don't notice, or maybe they don't know people that go through a lot with their loved ones who have Alzheimer's. And I have to tell you that I, you know, have so many uncles and aunts that have gone on. And I don't know of any of them that has Alzheimer's. However, I know that they have some major challenges in their lives. And I can only imagine how the family that many of you have that have Alzheimer's has so much to do, so much to figure out, so many times to meet and to try to get more information, different types of medicine and that sort of thing. It is a challenge. It's not just a challenge for you. It's a challenge for churches. It's a challenge for corporations whose employees may need to leave and take a leave of absence for 6 months or something like that. It's a challenge. And I just pray that we will get to the point where it's done, where we have the means and we have the knowledge to know what to do to make sure that it's gone. And I know it's possible. It just hasn't happened yet. Medication for me, Jonathan, has not been easy. You know, I've never been the girl that liked medication. You know, I try not to take Tylenol. But when you have to take medication to make sure that you are getting better, that you are seeing a difference, you're getting better and better as you keep going, that's important. And we have to pay attention to that. So think about your coworkers, think about your families, think about your friends who have someone in their lives with Alzheimer's. Talk to them. Call them. Say, how are you doing? Are you exhausted? I had a woman, a friend of mine, we were friends for years, and she called me about 2 years ago, and we just talked. And I asked her how her father was doing, and she told me as much as she could. So much of it I don't understand. But I think if we give someone a hug or reach out to them in some way, just some little way that makes a difference, then I'm all for it. All right, we're going to take a break. You are listening to... Oh, let's take a call from Marcia from St. Paul. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Geraldine. Just a quick call. Nice to hear you again. I took care of my mom for 11 and a half years. I called the Alzheimer's Association frequently, and I would encourage people to call them. I called them when something new happened, when we were going to travel or to how what to expect, and every time they sent me information, they answered my questions 24 hours a day, different parts of the country. I talked to the same people many times, and I took notes. I wrote down the date, the time, my question or concern, who I talked to, and what their answer was, and I still have the notebook. So I would highly encourage people to call the association. They are amazing and fabulous and very empathetic, very supportive.
Is that the helpline that I received earlier, or do you have another number we can call?
I think that was the one you received earlier. They were at the time in Edina during the day and Chicago at night and someplace else overnight. But I think that's the same one. I think there's just one. And
okay.
I'm going through.
Go ahead.
I'm quit grabbing my address book because I've got it in here. I carry it at work. I work in long-term care, and I give it to family members. And I'm quickly looking to see if I can grab it.
Well, the number I have is
800-272-3900.
There we go. Yes, thank you for confirming that. And thank you for sharing.
This was 25 years ago, and they're still doing wonderful work. They are awesome and amazing, and they will help everybody out there who needs it.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You take care of yourself.
Thank you. You
too. That's great news. Take care. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, it's time for us to take a break. Oh, by the way, if any of you have questions or you don't get this number, I think, Jonathan, I will come back with the next guest, and I will definitely give you that number again because it's way important. It's so, so important. A lot of people may sit and think, oh, yeah, I can find that number anywhere. And sometimes things that I have to go when it comes to medical stuff, I never can find the number that they gave me. So one more time, 800-272-3900. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 8:34 here at WCCO. Welcome back, everyone. I love this song, by the way, Jonathan. You know that. It makes me dance a little bit. So I'm really excited to introduce you to the chair and co-founder of the Minnesota Aurora FC. Her name is Andrea Yock, like stock, and I'm so excited to have her join us tonight. Why? Because on Saturday, the Twin Cities' newest sports franchise fell short of their championship goal. Short of that, however, Minnesota Aurora FC is hitting all of their marks. In just its second year, the Aurora has become one of the most formidable teams in the USLW League. That is huge. Playing several of the sold-out home games at Egan's TCO Stadium, the franchise has already turned a few heads across the metro. To talk about the organization's fast start, we welcome Aurora Chair and co-founder to the program via the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Andrea Yock. How are you, Andrea?
Hi, I'm good. We're a little bit tired and a little bit sad today, but appreciate you having me on.
Really grateful that you were able to join us tonight. I can only imagine how difficult it has been because you guys are doing well, and then all of a sudden there's this change. How did you handle it, and how did the team handle it?
It's hard because this team and our team last year, they truly love each other. The chemistry is so strong, and they become such good friends. And so to be beaten in the playoffs, and you know, sports are hard, and that's the thing. Everything else with this team is so beautiful and harmonious and happy, but then you remember it's competition. Everybody right. wants to win. So, just everyone was very sad. They were sad last night, sad again today, but they got together tonight, and Miles were coming back out again, and they're playing volleyball and just spending some time together before everybody goes their separate ways at the end of the summer. But right now, just a little bit of sadness, but also pride in the season that we had.
How do you keep everyone feeling good, saying, hey, we're ready for 2024. We are not gonna have to worry about it. We're going to be our best selves. How do you get them to that?
Well, honestly, a lot of it is because of our fans. We had 7,000 people at our last game. We're breaking attendance records. We're breaking our own attendance records, and we have the highest attendance out of 66 teams in the league and some of the best attendance in the United States for women's soccer. And so when the players see those fans, we had fans come to Flint, Michigan, which is not easy to get to, by the way.
Right.
It means
right.
so much, right? So all you want to do is do it again. You want to get back in front of those fans. You want to give them everything that you have. And that makes a huge difference when you know you're playing for these people who have so many choices. They could go to so many different things. We live in a market where there's every night there's competition. And yet you choose to come to an Aurora game. Our players absolutely want to give you their best.
So with them wanting to give their best, what more can you do? I know encouraging them, making sure that it's tight team, that they understand everything that you are teaching, everything that do they add to it? Do they come to you and say, hey, what if we try this or we try that? Is that something that you can do in this sport?
From a pure soccer standpoint, my head coach would be much better to answer that than I would be. I try not to actually interfere with decisions being made on the soccer field. But as far as things they want to do, you know, housing, when they want to get here, how they want to work out, what time they want to work out, even, you know, we made a decision to fly to Detroit instead of busing. Those things we try to support as much as we possibly can. We want Aurora to be the best atmosphere and the most supportive place for the players that we can. So from our medical staff at Twin Cities Orthopedic to the trainer to our strength and conditioning coach, we have a mental skills coach this year. Any of those things that we think we can do in order to help make our players healthy and whole mentally and physically, we will provide for them. And all they have to do is ask.
Right. Will you be taking on any new players? Do you know?
Yes, there's always going to be some turnover. We hope to have some players that might be able to go over and play in Europe. So we'll lose some players from moving up in the world and going on to bigger jobs, which is great. One of our most popular players, Christelle Yua, she just graduated from dental school. So she's now a doctor.
Wow.
She'll start her dental career. Yeah. She played with us while going to dental school at the University of Minnesota, and we didn't actually, she's a great story. We didn't even know she was here. She went to Michigan State. She was a star at Michigan State, our league only is 2 years old. So when she graduated from Michigan State, there was nowhere for her to keep going to play. Came out here for dental school, and we were having tryouts, and somebody said, you should go try out. And so Christelle will start her dental career in September as a full, doctor, and she worked really hard. She took her boards during soccer season and everything else. So there's a few we'll lose that way, because they're at the age where they finish their master's programs and want to just get started with their life. And then there's, a bunch that will come back, and we had new ones this year too, and the chemistry just continued to be wonderful. So our coaching staff does a great job of finding women who fit into our system of, gratitude, loving what we're building here, believing in what we're building here. And so it'll make next year exciting.
Wow, it's incredible. It really is incredible, and I know what it feels like to lose. And so I love that even though they lost, what they did accomplish was really remarkable. And I am expecting that for next year. I know that they're going to be excited to be back, and the audience will get bigger and bigger. I really believe that. And by the way, are you seeing more or hearing more about Minnesotans coming to the games, making sure that they try to fill it up?
We've been at capacity for a while. So,
oh, good. Really, good, good, good.
Since we started this team, the response from the community has been tremendous. From media has been amazing, and the fans. So our last home game 2 weeks ago, which turned out to be our last game for the season, we had 7,000 people in the stadium. We can't fit any more people than that.
That's
so
amazing.
So we've been well over 6,000 fans for almost all of our games, and that we just keep pushing and trying to get more in and have some standing room only. But yeah, our community has been amazing, and we are by far blown away from what we thought would happen when we started this team, and it's just going to continue to grow.
Wow. Congratulations. This is so big. And I really hope I can get some tickets to come to some of the shows. Better get them pretty quick. It sounds like it goes pretty quickly, those tickets. That's a great problem to have, right? It's a great problem.
Yes, exactly. And we keep our ticket prices low because we really want everybody to be able to come. So that, I think that's part of the sellout, right? Is it's a really great place for people to be able to come in groups without breaking your bank.
Well, I'm just shocked when I read sentences like outscoring opponents 61-4. You just kind of go, wow, how in the world did they not win that last one? But anything can happen. Anything can happen. Right. The big deal that we have to do is support. So I'm going to do my best to do that. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. All right.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so bottom line is, I don't know enough about the Minnesota Aurora. And if you don't know enough about it, please look into it. Please look into it. And Jonathan, before we go, of course, I want to ask you about, did you go to any of the games? Did you pay attention?
I have not gone to any of the games. I knew that the team was being formed last year, because there was some buzz about it. There were some stories about it, and there is a campaign. I don't want to call it a campaign, but there are ways that you can actually kind of get in on ownership of this team, and they do have packages. If you go on their website, mnaurora.com, you can find packages to get kind of a little claim of ownership in this team. Sort of like when you have season tickets to a club or to a sports franchise, they kind of have that as well. So the opportunities are out there to invest in this team, not just from going to the games and being there, but also from that sort of Green Bay Packers investment ownership type of role. So no, I have not been to any games myself. I need to do that starting next season. But I did try to follow them a little bit this season and did see, especially after last year where they were undefeated all the way until the championship match. I wanted to follow them and make sure that they were basically on the same plane, and they stayed on that same plane. They were undefeated going into yesterday's match against Indy 11. for a spot in the semifinals, and unfortunately they just ran into a really good defensive team, and they were shut out. And I will say this, one of the reasons I was able to follow the game, I was actually here yesterday while the Twins were on, but they were being carried on Fox 9 Plus. So they were being carried locally on television over the free air. So you could have watched that game yesterday as well. And I'm assuming that you might have more of those games coming up as we go along in the next season and the season after that.
So when does the season begin?
I think it began in April. Give me a second. I'll find that out.
Yeah, because I'm curious about it to make sure that we know about it. Of course, the links, we know when this starts and when it ends and that sort of thing. But I don't know much at all about Minnesota Aurora FC. I don't. And that's sad. I call myself a feminist. I should know.
Well, this is really new. You have to remember that the links, I believe, have been around for 25 years.
Right.
So they've been around for a while. And the WNBA had a lot of fanfare around it because it's so connected. It's a subsidiary, basically, of the NBA. The W League, which is, you could call it maybe a AAA for the NWSL, which is the National Women's Soccer League, there hasn't been as much press about that. This is kind of underground at this point, and so I'm not surprised that there hasn't been a lot of press about it. I am enthusiastic, and it does do my heart good that the fan base has shown up and has shown up in very, very good numbers early on.
Great numbers. I mean, there are no more seats. You know, it's
right.
Great. It's wonderful. But, you know, whether I have to stand outside or something, I really need to go and see this. Is it also on television or radio?
So yesterday's game was on television. I don't think most of their games are on TV or radio. It looks like they started in late May.
Late May. Okay.
Yeah. Just before Memorial Day, they started. And the next weekend, I believe, is going to be both the semifinals and the championship. So it basically goes about 2 months. Looks like they have a game or a couple of games a week, usually one midweek and then one over the weekends.
Well, the location that they're using is selling out 7,000 people. That's huge.
Yes, and it's
huge.
And it's the TCO Stadium, for people that aren't aware, that is the Vikings facility. That is the Minnesota Vikings facility in Eagan. Yes, when they moved from Winter Park out in Eden Prairie.
Right.
This
right.
is where they are now. That is the facility that the Aurora are using.
Well, hey, now, over by that hotel and all of that.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a lot over there. I didn't know that. So that's how they practice and that's where they go.
That's where their games are. I'm not quite sure where they practice, but that's where their games are played, is at that little stadium, but that stadium that the Vikings will start using here in the next few weeks for training camp.
It is now 8:34 here at WCCO. Welcome back, everyone. I love this song, by the way, Jonathan. You know that. It makes me dance a little bit. So I'm really excited to introduce you to the chair and co-founder of the Minnesota Aurora FC. Her name is Andrea Yock, like stock, and I'm so excited to have her join us tonight. Why? Because on Saturday, the Twin Cities' newest sports franchise fell short of their championship goal. Short of that, however, Minnesota Aurora FC is hitting all of their marks. In just its second year, the Aurora has become one of the most formidable teams in the USLW League. That is huge. Playing several of the sold-out home games at Eagan's TCO Stadium, the franchise has already turned a few heads across the metro. To talk about the organization's fast start, we welcome Aurora Chair and co-founder to the program via the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Andrea Yock. How are you, Andrea?
Hi, I'm good. We're a little bit tired and a little bit sad today, but appreciate you having me on.
Really grateful that you were able to join us tonight. I can only imagine how difficult it has been, because you guys are doing well, and then all of a sudden there's this change. How did you handle it, and how did the team handle it?
You know, it's hard because this team and our team last year, they truly love each other. The chemistry is so strong, and they become such good friends. And so to be beaten in the playoffs, and you know, sports are hard, and that's the thing. Everything else with this team is so beautiful and harmonious and happy, but then you remember it's competition. Everybody right. wants to win. So, yeah, just everyone was very sad. They were sad last night, you know, sad again today, but they got together tonight, and Miles were coming back out again, and they're playing volleyball and just spending some time together before everybody goes their separate ways at the end of the summer. But right now, just a little bit of sadness, but also pride in the season that we had.
How do you keep everyone feeling good, saying, hey, we're ready for 2024. We are not gonna have to worry about it. We're going to be our best selves. How do you get them to that?
Well, honestly, a lot of it is because of our fans. We had 7,000 people at our last game. We're breaking attendance records. We're breaking our own attendance records, and we have the highest attendance out of 66 teams in the league, and some of the best attendance in the United States for women's soccer. And so when the players see those fans, we had fans come to Flint, Michigan, which is not easy to get to, by the way.
Right.
It means
right.
so much, right? So all you want to do is do it again. You want to get back in front of those fans. You want to give them everything that you have, and that makes a huge difference when you know you're playing for these people who have so many choices. They could go to so many different things. We live in a market where there's every night there's competition, and yet you choose to come to an Aurora game. Our players absolutely want to give you their best.
So with them wanting to give their best, what more can you do? I know encouraging them, making sure that it's tight team, that they understand everything that you are teaching, everything that do they add to it? Do they come to you and say, hey, what if we try this or we try that? Is that something that you can do in this sport?
Yeah, I mean, we from a pure soccer standpoint, my head coach would be much better to answer that than I would be. I try not to actually interfere with decisions being made on the soccer field. But as far as things they want to do, you know, housing, when they want to get here, how they want to work out, what time they want to work out, even, you know, we made a decision to fly to Detroit instead of busing. Those things we try to support as much as we possibly can. We want Aurora to be the best atmosphere and the most supportive place for the players that we can. So from our medical staff at Twin Cities Orthopedic to the trainer to our strength and conditioning coach, we have a mental skills coach this year. Any of those things that we think we can do in order to help make our players healthy and whole mentally and physically, we will provide for them. And all they have to do is ask.
Right. Will you be taking on any new players? Do you know?
Yes, there's always going to be some turnover. We hope to have some players that might be able to go over and play in Europe. So we'll lose some players from moving up in the world and going on to bigger jobs, which is great. One of our most popular players, Christelle Yua, she just graduated from dental school. So she's now a doctor.
Wow.
So she'll start her dental career. Yeah. She played with us while going to dental school at the University of Minnesota, and we didn't actually, you know, she's a great story. We didn't even know she was here. She went to Michigan State. She was a star at Michigan State. Our league only is 2 years old. So when she graduated from Michigan State, there was nowhere for her to keep going to play. Came out here for dental school, and we were having tryouts, and somebody said, you should go try out. And so Christelle will start her dental career in September as a full you know, doctor, and she worked really hard. She took her boards during soccer season and everything else. So there's a few we'll lose that way, you know, because they're at the age where they finish their master's programs and want to just get started with their life. And then there's, you know, a bunch that will come back, and we had new ones this year too, and the chemistry just continued to be wonderful. So our coaching staff does a great job of finding women who fit into our system of, you know, gratitude, loving what we're building here, believing in what we're building here. And so it'll make next year exciting.
Wow, it's incredible. It really is incredible, and I know what it feels like to lose. And so I love that even though they lost, what they did accomplish was really remarkable. And I am expecting that for next year. I know that they're going to be excited to be back, and the audience will get bigger and bigger. I really believe that. And by the way, are you seeing more or hearing more about Minnesotans coming to the games, making sure that they try to fill it up?
I mean, we've been at capacity for a while. So,
oh, good. Really, good, good, good.
Since we started this team, the response from the community has been tremendous. From media has been amazing, and the fans. So our last home game 2 weeks ago, which turned out to be our last game for the season, we had 7,000 people in the stadium. We can't fit any more people than that.
That's
so
amazing.
Yes, we've been well over 6,000 fans for almost all of our games, and that we just keep pushing and trying to get more in and have some standing room only. But yeah, our community has been amazing, and we are by far blown away from what we thought would happen when we started this team, and yeah, it's just going to continue to grow.
Wow. Congratulations. This is so big. And I really hope I can get some tickets to come to some of the shows. Better get them pretty quick. It sounds like it goes pretty quickly, those tickets. So that's
quickly.
Yeah, that's a great problem to have, right? It's a great problem.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And we keep our ticket prices low because we really want everybody to be able to come. So that, I think that's part of the sellout, right? Is it's a really great place for people to be able to come in groups without breaking your bank.
Well, I'm just shocked when I read sentences like outscoring opponents 61-4. You know, you just kind of go, wow, how in the world did they not win that last one? But anything can happen. Anything can happen. Right. The big deal that we have to do is support. So I'm going to do my best to do that. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. All right.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so bottom line is, I don't know enough about the Minnesota Aurora. And if you don't know enough about it, please look into it. Please look into it. And Jonathan, before we go, of course, I want to ask you about, did you go to any of the games? Did you pay attention?
I have not gone to any of the games. I didn't. I knew that the team was being formed last year, because there was some buzz about it. There were some stories about it, and there is a campaign. I don't want to call it a campaign, but there are ways that you can actually kind of get in on ownership of this team, and they do have packages. If you go on their website, mnaurora.com, you can find packages to get kind of a little claim of ownership in this team. Sort of like when you have season tickets to a club or to a sports franchise, they kind of have that as well. So the opportunities are out there to invest in this team, not just from going to the games and being there, but also from that sort of Green Bay Packers investment ownership type of role. So no, I have not been to any games myself. I need to do that starting next season. But I did try to follow them a little bit this season, and did see, especially after last year where they were undefeated all the way until the championship match, I wanted to follow them and make sure that they were basically on the same plane, and they stayed on that same plane. They were undefeated going into yesterday's match against Indy 11. For a spot in the semifinals, and unfortunately they just ran into a really good defensive team and they were shut out. And I will say this, one of the reasons I was able to follow the game, I was actually here yesterday while the Twins were on, but they were being carried on Fox 9 Plus. So they were being carried locally on television over the free air. So you could have watched that game yesterday as well. And I'm assuming that you might have more of those games coming up as we go along in the next season and the season after that.
So when does the season begin?
I think it began in April. Give me a second. I'll find that out.
Yeah, because I'm curious about it to make sure that we know about it. Of course, the links, we know when this starts and when it ends and that sort of thing. But I don't know much at all about Minnesota Aurora FC. I don't. And that's sad. As a, you know, I call myself a feminist. I should know.
Well, this is really new. You have to remember that the Lynx, I believe, have been around for 25 years.
Right.
So they've been around for a while, and the WNBA had a lot of fanfare around it because it's so connected. It's a subsidiary, basically, of the NBA. The W League, which is, you could call it maybe a AAA for the NWSL, which is the National Women's Soccer League, there hasn't been as much press about that. This is kind of underground at this point, and so I'm not surprised that there hasn't been a lot of press about it. I am enthusiastic, and it does do my heart good that the fan base has shown up and has shown up in very, very good numbers early on.
Great numbers. I mean, there are no more seats. You know, it's
right.
Great. It's wonderful. But, you know, whether I have to stand outside or something, I really need to go and see this. Is it also on television or radio?
So yesterday's game was on television. I don't think most of their games are on TV or radio. It looks like they started in late May.
Late May. Okay.
Yeah. Just before Memorial Day, they started. And the next weekend, I believe, is going to be both the semifinals and the championship. So it basically goes about 2 months. Looks like they have a game or a couple of games a week, usually one midweek and then one over the weekends.
Well, the location that they're using is selling out 7,000 people. That's huge.
Yes, and it's
huge.
And it's the TCO Stadium, for people that aren't aware, that is the Vikings facility. That is the Minnesota Vikings facility in Eagan. Yes, when they moved from Winter Park out in Eden Prairie.
Right.
This is where they are now. That is the facility that the Aurora are using.
Well, hey, now, over by that hotel and all of that.
Yes.
It's a lot over there. I didn't know that. So that's how they practice, and that's where they go.
That's where their games are. I'm not quite sure where they practice, but that's where their games are played, is at that little stadium, but that stadium that the Vikings will start using here in the next few weeks for training camp.
So do you know if the Vikings are supporting them in any other way?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's awesome. That's just awesome. Really great to hear. I know that you had said that the Amateur Women's Soccer Club's perfect season ended in a 1-0 defeat to Indy 11 in the USLW League Central Conference Championship in Flint, Michigan. And Aurora was 13-0-0. Explain that to me.
So in soccer or football, depending on what part of the world you're from, mm-hmm. there are ties. So when you have a record of, let's say, 13-0-1, depending on where the column is, some people put the losses in the middle column, some people put them on the left side. You could have 13 wins, 0 losses, and 1 tie, or a draw, as they call it in soccer, or you could have 13 wins, 0 draws, and 1 loss. So you always have to look at the standings, see where they put the wins, see which column is the draws or ties, and see which one is the losses, and that's how you follow what their record is. But you're not going to have just wins or losses like you have in basketball, like you have in baseball, like you have, I guess you could say you could have it in hockey now. They used to have ties in hockey, too.
Wow. I just didn't know. It's really sad that Geraldine did not know about this.
Well, see, you
Minnesota
get to learn
Aurora.
Something new tonight. It's all about learning.
Oh, here you go.
I'm just saying. It's always about learning, right?
Well, yeah, that's what it should be about. And I'm just terribly disappointed that I didn't know.
But now you can go on their website. Again, MNAurora, AURORA.com. Find out more about them. Get ready for the next season. And it's again, a short season. And it's going to start in a time, hopefully, where the weather will be nice enough where you can go outside and sit outside up here, because it got kind of close.
It got kind of close.
Yes.
Okay. Enough said. And have you met the coach, by the way?
No, I haven't. This is my first interaction with the team, setting them up for the interview. I hope to be better informed and do more regarding the team going forward.
Wow. I tell you, there's so much going on in this great state of ours, and I absolutely did not know about this, and that's sad. So, Jonathan, I today ask you to please let me know if there's another team that comes out from Minnesota and I don't know anything about it.
I will. Yeah. I will do my best.
Please do.
There, like Ms. Yock said, there's so many teams and so many things that are garnering for your attention when you talk right. about sports teams. You can get lost in the soup, and so the fact that they have that turnout all the time when they play at TCO, that's great to hear.
And when the team is put together, are they from all over or mostly in Minnesota?
Yes, I believe most of them are Minnesota players or have Minnesota ties. If I can take a quick look at the roster, and then we gotta.
I know we have to take a break.
Yeah,
I know.
But let me see if I can find any. I'm going to have to look through the break because they don't have an easy way to see where these ladies are from. So I got to dig into it and see through each different set of people, the defenders, the forwards, the midfielders, where they're from. So I'll do that during the break.
All right. Well, let's take a break. This is a good time to do it. And we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. My goodness, I have learned a lot about the Minnesota Aurora. By the way, I just love their the design that they have. What is that called, Jonathan? The crest?
Their crest. Talking about their jerseys, you would call in soccer your kit. They call them kits, but jerseys, uh-huh. their design. Yeah,
it's really cool. And by the way, I didn't know that, after two rounds of voting, community owners narrowed the final list to Arctic Minnesota for the names of this group, right? Arctic Minnesota, Minnesota Foxfire, and Minnesota Aurora. I would have voted for Minnesota Aurora immediately. It just sounds right. So I was happy to see that and that they didn't accept Arctic Minnesota and Minnesota Foxfire. Yay. Yay. So I have a lot more to learn about it. But, man, soccer is a great game. Here's the thing. My son-in-law loves soccer. He loves to play. When he first moved to Minnesota, when he was engaged to my daughter, I could not believe how much this man wanted to play. And he played with anybody, everywhere, just all over the state of Minnesota. And he just loved it. And now his son, my grandson, who's almost 3 years old, you ought to see him with a soccer ball. You ought to see it, Jonathan. It's amazing. When he is in the mood to do it, it's amazing.
I'm telling you, everywhere else in the world, this is basically their number one sport. And
no,
you have people.
That's true. Right?
You have people that, if they're from countries in Africa, countries in South America, countries in Asia, they right. learn this at a young age. It is like skating for hockey in Minnesota and Canada. It's something that is really dug in really early.
It's amazing. All right, everyone, it's time to go to center stage in the 9 o'clock hour. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. My goodness, I have learned a lot about the Minnesota Aurora. By the way, I just love their the design that they have. What is that called, Jonathan? The crest? Their crest.
Talking about their jerseys, you would call in soccer your kit. They call them kits, but jerseys, uh-huh. their design. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. And by the way, I didn't know that, after two rounds of voting, community owners narrowed the final list to Arctic Minnesota for the names of this group, right? Arctic Minnesota, Minnesota Foxfire, and Minnesota Aurora. I would have voted for Minnesota Aurora immediately. It just sounds right. So I was happy to see that and that they didn't accept Arctic Minnesota and Minnesota Foxfire. Yay. Yay. So I have a lot more to learn about it, but man, soccer is a great game. Here's the thing. My son-in-law, loves soccer. He loves to play. When he first moved to Minnesota, when he was engaged to my daughter, I could not believe how much this man wanted to play. And he played with anybody, everywhere, just all over the state of Minnesota. And he just loved it. And now his son, my grandson, who's almost 3 years old, you ought to see him with a soccer ball. You ought to see it, Jonathan. It's amazing. When he is in the mood to do it, it's amazing.
I'm telling you, everywhere else in the world, this is basically their number one sport. And
no,
you have people.
That's true. Right?
You have people that, if they're from countries in Africa, countries in South America, countries in Asia, they right. learn this at a young age. It is like skating for hockey in Minnesota and Canada. It's something that is really dug in really early.
It's amazing. All right, everyone. It's time to go to center stage in the 9 o'clock hour. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.